Toprak repay the favour for what happened Rossi. In Portimao last year? Can he do a Rossi? Rossi. At the last corner. Rossi. Here it Rossi. Is.
This is the Motorbike Racing Show. This is Sunday, the 31st of March, 2024. We've got Bagnaia.
We are two different guys and with two different mentality, so two different point of view.
We've got Marquez.
He know what he did. He know what which mistake he did.
We've got Toprak and a whole lot more. Hi there, Greg Haynes with you, and what a dramatic round two it was for not just World Superbikes this year, but for MotoGP as well, all happening on the same weekend. It was Barcelona for World Superbikes, it was Portimao for MotoGP, and there's been plenty of news headlines since then, and one of them potentially the biggest news in the history of motorsport for a very, very long time. Liberty Media is purchasing Dorna for an estimated $4 billion. I've been informed, I can tell you by an inside source, a very reliable one, that the deal is to be announced no later than the end of this week. Watch this space. There's a genuine chance BMW will go to MotoGP when the new rules come in for 2027, but they will have to win World Superbike first. We've got plenty coming up on that towards the end of the show. Toprak Razgatlioglu very likely to go with them, but his manager Keenan Sofoglu has told me that other options will very likely be available for them in MotoGP, especially if he wins this year's World Superbike title, and maybe even another one or two by the time 2027 comes around. Jack Miller says he's, quote, not a fan of testing on the same circuit just before a Grand Prix. We saw that, of course, in Qatar for MotoGP earlier on this year, and also the opening two World Superbike rounds, Australia and Barcelona. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens at Assen and then Misano and the rest of the season when there will not be full tests scheduled before the rounds. Other news doing the rounds, Marc Marquez says he's in no rush to think about his future, with rumours flying around about an offer from the factory Ducati team. No surprise there. Alex Rins and Yamaha stayed on in Portimao for a Monday test with the ability to test new concession parts under this year's regulations, which help the struggling manufacturers. Rumours are doing the rounds about Pramac staying or not staying with Ducati, so should I stay or should I go is the question there. Jake Dixon, as I'm sure you know by now, missed Portugal, the Aspar Moto2 rider having sustained lung damage in particular in that horrible high side back in Qatar at round one. Atres Media in Spain is to broadcast the Spanish, that's Jerez, Catalan, that's Barcelona, and the Valencia Grand Prix free to air, not just this season, but next year as well. And that's a deal they've put together in collaboration with Dorna, the commercial rights holder, and also DAZN, which has the exclusive rights across Spanish television at the moment in MotoGP. Now, this new deal will not just be coverage on the terrestrial channels in Atres Media, but also news coverage on various channels across television and radio in Spain. Mike Trimby is to be inducted into the MotoGP Hall of Fame, making history as the first person to be named a legend who is not a rider. The ceremony for the late Trimby will take place at the British Grand Prix, his home event at Silverstone, later this year. Mike passed away last September and leaves an enormous legacy as the founder and CEO of IRTA, the International Road Racing Teams Association, which was established in 1986 with the chief goal of looking after the riders, whether it be safety or working conditions. Well, Superbike news, Nicolò Bouliger has had arm pump surgery on his right forearm, having just undergone that operation in Cremona in Italy. Now, just imagine what he could have done without having arm pump back at Barcelona. He is still leading the championship, having snatched it back, and we're only six races into his maiden season. BSB now, and James Ellison is back in racing action this year, joining the BMW F900R Cup. It's the first time he's back since 2019 when he raced with OMG. Troy Corsett, if you remember, the double world superbike champion, made a guest appearance on one of those BMWs last year at Brands Hatch, and the championship itself was won convincingly, it has to be said, by Richard Cooper. I reckon we need to get Messrs Whittam, Hayden, Byrne and Toesland on those BMWs, don't you? Richard Kerr and AMD Motorsport, well, they're heading across the pond to race this year in Moto America Superstock. Richard Kerr won the British Superstock title last year after Dan Linfoot was stripped of the title a month after the season ended with that very, very controversial technicality. Other news from BSB, the entry list is out for this year's RNG British Talent Cup. 29 riders, 24 of which are from the UK. The foreign representatives are Tyler King from New Zealand, plus four riders from the United States. Eli Banish, Julian Correa, Ben Joliffe and Joshua Raymond Junior. It's 18 races across 8 rounds, all starting at Navara in April and then ending at Donington in September. Well, what drama we had at MotoGP in Portimao last weekend. I'm sure you know what happened by now with Marc Márquez and Pecco Bagnaia. It didn't take them long, did it? Colliding into the VIP hairpin in the closing stages of Sunday's Grand Prix. And unsurprisingly, Bagnaia was not very happy about it.
When Marc arrived, he tried to overtake me. He went wide. I just tried to cross the line. He tried to close his line and we collided. So, unluckily, it ended up with 0 point. And for next race, we have to fight back to close a bit the gap.
You've just been to the hearing. What was said there? What are both of your opinions on the incident?
We have we went both on the side of no penalty, obviously. But we are two different guys and with two different mentality. So two different point of view.
In terms of the relationship between the two, has this affected it at all?
It's something that unlikely can happen.
Pecco Bagnaia there chatting with MotoGP.com's Jack Appleyard. Unsurprisingly, Marc Márquez blamed Bagnaia.
I mean, it was in a limit situation. Was it there on the red line, you know? It's true that when the race direction called me, I say to them, it's in the red line, you must decide. I mean, of course, these things happen on the races, but I didn't expect that mistake from Pecco on this race, because we were fighting for fifth position. In the end, 2 points more, 2 points less. I mean, the worst thing is that both of us, we finish on the gravel. So this is something that that can affect a lot in the end of the championship. So today, he was suffering a lot in the end. I was suffering a lot in the beginning. In the end, I was catching him. You know that when you are suffering, sooner or later, in 3-4 laps, the other rider will overtake you, so you must accept. But yeah, he come back in a very optimistic way, and in the end we finish both of them in the gravel. Of course, it's impossible to be agreement between the two riders after 1 hour of the incident. But we have a good relationship with Pecco, no problem. I mean, he know what he did, he know what which mistake he did. I accept these things happen on the race, and for me the most important is that this weekend my speed was one step more than the other ones. It's true that on the race I struggled more than what I expect, because I struggled a lot with the front confidence, and then I was calm. No stress, no panic, and just wait for next race.
I think it's fair to say the no-nonsense badass Marc Márquez is back. And that is our soap opera moment of the week, and it would have been Portimao, but over in Barcelona, something else was happening.
We've already had winners so far this season. Can Bautista make it 4 from just 5 races? He's yet to win as the reigning double world champion. We look back then, we're through the right hander for the last time of turn 4. Is Toprak going to dive to the right hand side of the screen?
Of course he is.
At the inside of turn 5. Is he too far back, I think?
Too far back, exactly that, Greg. What a great vantage point. Oh, you could even touch Toprak's visor there. He was so close. This is turn 6, down the hill into turn 7. There's only 2 possible places now, and that's into turn 10 at the end of the straight.
What about up at the top of the hill here at 9? I think he's too far back. Yes, he is too far back. So,
here we go.
Will be a dive bomb at the end of this straight.
This is it. This is the exit at turn 9. Into this, Erdmann is turn 10 on the brakes. Is he close enough? No, he's not. Bautista is covering the line, and you can hear the crowd going mad.
You certainly can, because are they about to see the reigning double world champion winning in Spain and winning for the first time this season? Can Toprak do anything on the run to the line? We don't. Don't have the straight line speed advantage of Bautista that we had last year. Can Toprak repay the favour for what happened
Rossi.
In Portimao last year? Can he do a Rossi?
Rossi.
At the last corner.
Rossi.
Here it
Rossi.
Is!
See him doing it. Jonathan Rea comes across the line. Sam just in front there. Toprak Razgatlioglu, take a bow. What a superbike race.
Sorry for the screaming, but that was just unbelievable. And Iannone went through as well. You have to feel for Bautista, who ends up dropping from first to third.
I still can't believe what an amazing move that was. That man is a legend. I do feel sorry, though, for Álvaro Bautista. James Tozen and I, they're getting a little bit excited in the Eurosport coverage, but crikey. And those of you who would say, oh, well, you would pick that as the soap opera moment of the week because it's World Superbikes and that's where I'm working at the moment. It's honestly not that. That was one of the most astonishing last corner moments ever. And let's be honest, that's got to go down in history as one of the best ever motorsport races, hasn't it? And that's including cars, bikes, everything. And I've watched a lot over the years, whether it's touring cars, single seaters, rallying, sidecars, and goodness knows what else. That was, it doesn't get any better than that, does it? Toprak Razgatlioglu, Álvaro Bautista, Andrea Iannone getting in on the act as well. And for a BMW rider to come through and win race one, the long race, and then the sprint race, and then a third place in the last race on Sunday to score more points than anybody else at Barcelona, which has previously been a terrible, terrible circuit for them, which eats up tyres, is well nigh unbelievable. And surely that makes already Toprak Razgatlioglu on the BMW. If he can do that at Barcelona, a title contender this season. Let's just get the words from the man himself, because it was just incredible.
Corner 10, I'm thinking for attack, but the corner 9 exit, his bike has a better acceleration. I'm not close to, for attack. And after, I'm just thinking last corner. I remember Valentino Rossi did many years ago and passed Jorge Lorenzo, the last corner. I'm just thinking this. And corner 13, I understand. It's possible because I'm very close to Alvaro and last corner I'm just try. If I'm not try, I'm really angry because I'm just thinking I need to try to see, you know, this is working or not, because this is a good plan, but just we need to show. And but finally I'm find the line and to stop the bike is, you know, the plan is working, is perfect, but I use second gear for acceleration because if I use third gear, bike maybe not stopping and not maybe acceleration, last corner. Good memories, this Super Bowl race, especially last corner. And, you know, what I am saying, you know, I'm really happy this weekend with the BMW.
There we are then, our soap opera moment of the week. For those of you wondering what that music is, it's a couple of English soap operas, one of them at the beginning, one of them at the end. It's probably not even worth getting into. But let's just not forget that we've got some potentially enormous news coming at the end of this week, if my very reliable source is to be believed, and I'm absolutely sure that they are. As far as I'm concerned, the deal is done. This is relating to Liberty Media, which has been running Formula One, if you remember, since 2017, buying Dorna, the commercial rights holder of MotoGP, for an estimated 4 billion euros. Don't expect many big changes for the rest of this year, but there could be some big changes for MotoGP and World Superbikes yet to be revealed for 2025. As far as I'm concerned, the deal is done, so providing any last-minute hiccups, we should be getting an announcement, I do believe, towards the end of this week. Watch out for it. It's going to be massive. And of course, there's no surprise, obviously, that the next Grand Prix does happen to be at Austin, Texas. And where is Liberty Media from? They are, of course, an American company. So it all is tying in very, very nicely. It's been on the cards for a while, but it actually seems that this time it may well happen. Now, the other big news at the moment, of course, is MotoGP, the mighty BMW. Are they going to be going there for 2027? I'd also like to get your opinions on the new MotoGP rules for 2027. What should they remove? What should they keep? Is it correct that MotoGP is the pinnacle for technology? I personally think that it is, in the same way Formula One should be. They're prototype cars, or prototype bikes in this case, designed for racing, as opposed to sports cars or touring cars or World Superbikes, which are road-going machines modified to race. And by the way, as James Toseland pointed out in the Eurosport coverage, incredible the fact Toprak's lap time would have put him 11th on the grid with that new qualifying lap record for World Superbikes, 11th on the grid for MotoGP, and only 0.8 off the pace. I know some people don't like his comparing them, but I just can't fail to think how impressive that is, bearing in mind that is originally a road going bike. It's stunning. But MotoGP, has it lost a bit of that touch? I think it's fair to say it has. It's a difficult time. We need the overtaking back. We need a little bit less aero. They're going to have to be careful in how they do it, of course, because you don't want to punish the teams for their genius. But MotoGP's USP, in my opinion, was always its overtaking in action. It's still fantastic. It's still MotoGP. We love it. Of course we do. But I think it's fair to say, in the same way we said with Formula One in the past, which we also love, not everyone will love it listening to this, of course, as a bike racing podcast, but you know, I certainly still love Formula One as well and watch it closely, not as religiously as I used to, but I'm still following everything that's happening. And we want as much unpredictability as possible, don't we? I think that's the problem at the moment. MotoGP is just a little bit too difficult for overtaking. We saw some good action in Portugal, as we did in Qatar, but it's not quite what it used to be in the past. Anyway, I've gone off on a right tangent there because I was just about to start talking about BMW and the news that they may well be joining MotoGP for those new regulations in 2027. Now, Kiko Giles from Dorna, who is working for worldspk.com and was commentating for the first time in Catalonia on the Supersport 300 World Championship, interviewed Marcus Flash during the weekend on the Saturday. And this is the new CEO of BMW Motorrad. He's been there since November last year, replacing Dr. Schramm, who was there before him, who's left now after many years. And Kiko began the interview by asking, are all the questions answered now? Can the critics be silenced for Toprak's move to World Superbike after that amazing win he had on the Saturday?
Toprak really loves the brand and he really stands for the brand. He stands for what our values are, and he's a perfect match. And I think it's just natural. He should be here.
You as the CEO of BMW Motorrad, how does it feel for you to be like the name and looking across the company that now World Superbike race winners?
Well, I just took over in November of 23, so all of the work that has been done by Mark Pongers and the team was before me. So sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and sometimes you get the credit for what other people did before you, and this is the case right now.
Final question, looking ahead, bigger picture in World Superbike, is this a new era for BMW, for the success, and are you now really looking at this and thinking we can be regular fighters for the race win and possibly the title?
Well, when we go to a race, we go to win. And this is what I told the team. There is no other strategy, no other league that we're trying to play in until we win in World Superbike. And this is the goal.
Kiko Giles there with Marcus Flash, who's the new CEO of BMW Motorrad since last November. Now, that's interesting because with all these rumours flying around, did you notice Kiko didn't directly ask about MotoGP there? But just listen again to the end of that answer.
Well, when we go to a race, we go to win. And this is what I told the team. There is no other strategy, no other league that we're trying to play in until we win in World Superbike. And this is the goal.
So nothing else we're trying to play in until we win in World Superbike. You didn't need to ask him about MotoGP because I think we got the answer there, didn't it? And that's also tying in with an interview that Ivo Schutzbach, our colleague from Germany at Speed Week, did recently with the same man, Marcus Flash, who's actually said, yes, we're considering MotoGP, but we're going to need to win World Superbikes first. So what a situation we have going on at the moment. And then, of course, the big question is, would Toprak go with them? And I had a chat the other day for Motorcycle News. There's a piece out in this Wednesday's newspaper about that. And Keenan basically saying, yes, it's very possible. We think there will be options. But he's also hinting at the fact that they suspect, especially if Toprak's won at least one World Superbike title on the BMW by then, which let's not forget, would have been considered absolutely ridiculous to even suggest just a few months ago, certainly a year ago. People would have shot you down in flames for saying a BMW is going to win the 2024 title, which now seems like a real genuine possibility. It's incredible, isn't it? So what is going to happen with BMW and MotoGP, I wonder, over the next few weeks and months? Stand by for headlines. We've got some big, big changes coming by the looks of things across the world of motorcycle racing. Also in this week's MCN, have a look at the latest rumours regarding the World Superbike calendar. I'll get more into that in Thursday's podcast, but have a look at the MCN as well, because there's some interesting stuff that's going into the article there, if I say so myself, about the calendar for next season and possibly some big changes to this year's calendar as well. Right, let's get the championship standings across the board in motorcycle racing. Kicking off then with MotoGP, Jorge Martin now leading there by 18 points ahead of Brad Binder. Bastianini is third, Bagnaia down to fourth, Pedro Acosta into the top five, and Marc Marquez is sixth. Constructors, Ducati leading KTM by 21 points, with Ducati Lenovo team ahead in the team's championship as well.
Moto2, and Aaron Canet is in the lead of the World Championship after winning his first Grand Prix in Portugal. But it's a splendid situation with the top six covered by just 7 points. Joe Roberts is second for America. Then it's Gonzalez, Garcia, Lopez and Ogura. In the constructors, it's Kalex Triumph leading the way with MT Helmets MSI on top in the teams. Moto3, Daniel Gardo is leading after winning in Portugal, 7 points ahead of David Alonso. Then it's Ortola via Rueda and Kelso of Australia. In the constructors, Gas Gas are on top with Red Bull Gas Gas Tech 3 leading the way in the teams championship. Double Moto E World Champion Mattia Cassadei is on top after their first two races of the new season. Just 1 point ahead of Hector Garzo, with Dynavolt Intact GP Moto E leading the team's championship. World Superbikes, and the leading gap now for Nicolo Bulliger is 12 points ahead of Alex Lowes. Bautista's up to third from Toprak, Iannone and Petrucci. In the manufacturers, Ducati with a commanding lead at this point, and BMW are up to second ahead of Kawasaki, Yamaha and Honda. Yamaha down to fourth then. In the team championship, Aruba Ducati are still on top. World Supersport, it's still Yari Montella, having said to us in the podcast that he wanted to just limit the damage in Barcelona. Well, he's leading Marcel Schrotter by 4 points, but the German Schrotter, the only rider to finish on the podium in all four races so far. The rest of the top six is Manzi Caracasulo-Huertas after his win in Barcelona and Bahatin Sofoglu. Leading in the manufacturers are Ducati, but MV are ahead in the teams championship. Aldi Mahendra leads in World Supersport 300 after 1 second place and 1 seventh at Barcelona, with Iñigo Iglesias in second place. Jeffrey Baus is third. Petter Svoboda, Sam Dissoura and Julio Garcia completing the top six. In the constructors, Kawasaki leading the way from Yamaha, Kovi and KTM. And then the Yamaha R3 Blue Crew World Cup, as it is now known. A dominant performance by the Aragon rider. 15-year-old Gonzalo Sanchez wasn't just the first and only rider to finish on the podium at Barcelona this season, but he won both of the races. He leads. Poland's David Novak is second. Eduardo Burr for Brazil is third. Dorian Jolan of France is fourth. Mario Sales, another Brazilian, in fifth place. And then it's Nicolas Zanin completing the top six on behalf of the Czech Republic. The next races for these championships, Circuit of the Americas on the weekend of the 14th of April for MotoGP. World Superbikes continues at Assen on the slightly later dates of the weekend of the 20th and 21st of April. That's all we've got time for. We'll be back for the next podcast. It's the Motorbike Racing Show with me, Greg Haynes, this Thursday, the 4th of April. Don't forget to get in touch with us on social media, Greg Haynes TV, and please give us some likes, follows, subscribe on your favourite podcast platforms. To get in touch by email, it's talkingawaypodcast@gmail.com. Speak to you on Thursday. Where do you listen to your podcasts? At home or on the go? Subscribe now to Talking Away with Greg Haynes on your favourite platform. You'd be doing me a favour if you did.